Amen. Well, our Old Testament reading is from the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth. As we conclude our series in Ruth, it just flew by, don't you think? It did for me anyway. I don't know about you, but it's flown by for me. What a great book this has been. But we conclude this evening and we find in this fourth chapter these gracious words of our gracious Redeemer. Ruth, chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer, of whom Boaz had spoken, came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your book, which reveals to us your glorious story of redemption. In these moments together as your children, we claim the promise of your Spirit's help that we may see, trust, worship, and follow your Son, Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, what a wonderful story this has been. Ruth, the widowed Moabite, clung to her widowed mother-in-law, Naomi, the Bethlehemite, in loyalty. She followed her back to Bethlehem after the death of Naomi's husband and sons. And most important, she was clinging in faith to Naomi's God, the God of Israel. And as we've seen, the even greater gospel truth revealed in this wonderful book is that the God of Israel was clinging to her. He was clinging to her. He was clinging to Naomi. He hadn't forgotten them. He loved them. He was gracious towards them. He loved them with a love that would not let them go. He did not leave them, therefore, without a future. To borrow the words of Jeremiah 29:11, his plans for them were to prosper them and not to harm them. Plans to give them a future and a hope. That future and hope came through a man named Boaz, a successful and generous farmer who also happened to be a relative of Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband. Naomi, as we heard last week, had a bright idea. She decided to send Ruth to Boaz to communicate her desire for him to be her kinsman redeemer. This was a thing in ancient Israel whereby a relative such as Boaz would step in and marry a widow, a woman in distress, marry her so that the family fortune and name could live on. Boaz was interested, to say the least. But, as we read, he was a worthy man. That is, he was a virtuous man, a man of integrity. And he knew that there was another relative, another potential redeemer, who was closer to Elimelech on the family tree. So he told Ruth he would first need to speak to this man before they could think of moving forward in their relationship. Thus the scene before us this evening and all that followed. So let's consider it under two wonderful truths. First, God did not leave Naomi and Ruth without a redeemer. And second, God has not left you without a redeemer. First, God did not leave Naomi and Ruth without a redeemer. They were widows, but here was the good news. God is the God of widows. They were without provision. But here's the good news. God is the God who provides. All had seemed lost. Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore." Naomi means pleasant. "Instead, call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Lord has dealt bitterly with me." You know what? God loved her anyway. Even though she made that statement, God kept right on loving her. even when she was doubting his goodness. Why? Because he's the God of steadfast love. His love is not fickle. His love is relentless. You know, we heard of that dirty spirit this morning who was relentless in his oppression of that little boy. Well, infinitely more and victoriously so, our God is relentless in his love for us. Such was God's love. It's a relentless love. It's a steadfast love. It's an enduring love. It's a forbearing love. Such was his love for Naomi and Ruth. And so he provided a redeemer for them. As we read, Boaz went to the gate of Bethlehem to confer with the other potential redeemer. The leadership of the city were witnesses of this. The redeemer first expressed interest in taking possession of Elimelech's land. Didn't you like how Boaz kind of, you know, unfolded this whole thing? Very, very clever on his part. But when he found out, this other redeemer, when he found out that marriage would be involved, he decided against it. Why? He was afraid it would, quote, impair his own inheritance, as he put it in verse 6. Evidently, he already had children of his own, and he was afraid that any sons that might be born to him and Ruth would dilute the inheritance of his present children. Can't you just see the smile coming over Boaz's face as this man is saying this? But he used restraint. And he waited until the Redeemer had given him his sandal. Very peculiar to us. We don't go around doing that kind of thing. But this was a way of attestation in the ancient Near East. It was a way, it was like a pledge before witnesses. You know, this was before the day of the notary public, right? The sandal was the notary public. It was the seal to say. It was one way of doing it anyway, of saying, I mean what I am saying. So with that assurance, Boaz knew he could move forward with Ruth. The people gathered at the gate blessed him and Ruth. There's a number of benedictions pronounced in our passage this evening. Here's one of them. When they blessed him and Ruth, saying, may she be like Rachel and Leah. Now, what did they mean by that? Well, Rachel and Leah, you may remember, had been childless as Ruth for some time, as Ruth had been childless up to this point. But the Lord gave them children through Jacob, including Judah, of whose tribe Boaz, Naomi, and now Ruth, by grace, were a part. So Boaz didn't need any more encouragements. He took Ruth to be his wife. They conceived and bore a son named Obed. The women encouraged them to name him Obed. What does Obed mean? Obed means worshiper. In other words, a worshiper of the one true and living God who had not forgotten Naomi and Ruth. Ruth was not going to raise her son to worship the God that she had been raised to worship in Moab. She wasn't going to raise him to worship Chemosh. She was going to raise him to worship the Lord God of Israel who had redeemed her by his grace. And the words of the women of Bethlehem to Naomi were fantastic. Didn't you just love all that? What a wonderful picture of women building up another woman. They said in verse 14, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. They're preaching the gospel. That's the gospel. How we need to hear that tonight. God has not left you without a redeemer. But that's my second point. I'm getting ahead of myself. God has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your soul, your old age. Could, variously translated, a restorer of your youth. You know, Isaiah 40, that kind of imagery. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more than seven sons to you, has given birth to him. So it's a beautiful picture of redemption, a beautiful picture of restoration. The book began with Naomi lamenting her losses to these very women. She's lamenting to these very women, saying, "Don't call me pleasant. The Lord has made me very bitter." But the book ends with these same women saying to Naomi what she already knew to be true. "No, we're not going to stop calling you Naomi. We're not going to do it. Because the Lord has continued to deal pleasantly with you. He has been gracious to you through Ruth, through Boaz, and now through Obed. The Lord loves you beyond what you could have ever imagined." And Naomi cared for Obed as if he were her own. The Lord did not leave Naomi and Ruth without a redeemer. And dear friend, what all of this is pointing to is that he has not left you without a redeemer. The story of Ruth is a story of redemption within the big story of redemption we call the Bible. Or if you please, the gospel. The story of God's love for us in our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. I love how Levi is leading the English club, you know, working on conversational English and so forth, using the Jesus storybook Bible. What a great way to do that. Because the Jesus storybook Bible does a marvelous job of showing how every story of the Bible is part of the bigger story of the Bible, the story of Jesus and his love. As the Jesus storybook Bible puts it, every story whispers his name. So the whole purpose of this story, the story of Ruth being included in the Bible, is to point us to Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Yes, it's to show that God had not forgotten Israel in this day when, you know, everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. And yes, it's to show the legitimacy of the Davidic kingship and all that in its historical context. But ultimately, it's to show Jesus, our gracious kinsman Redeemer, who became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, took upon himself our nature in order to redeem us. And the genealogy at the end leads us in that very direction. In fact, the gospel, according to Matthew, picks up where this genealogy leaves off. And it keeps going from David through Solomon, all the way down through the generations to Jesus himself, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that kingly tribe. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Remember, years ago we were at the Lake Norman Scottish Highland Games. They call them the Loch Norman Games. And we had our kilts on, and you know, the bagpipes are going and all that. And at all these games, one of the wonderful things about it is they always ask a Presbyterian minister to be the chaplain of the games. Dr. Kelly, many of you know him, he's the chaplain at the Grandfather Mountain Highland Games. And he preaches for their service on the Sunday morning and all of that. But the gentleman, the pastor who was the chaplain of the Loch Norman Highland Games, you know, giving the opening prayer before the ceremonies, and he closed the prayer. I'll never forget it. You know, he's speaking to God, but in front of all these, you know, all the clans, the Scottish clans. And he says, we pray in the strong name of the Lion of Clan Judah. I thought, that's good. That's good. All of this talk about Obed and Jesse and David, this, the tribe of Judah, it's all pointing to that Lion of the tribe, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, if you look back at the words of praise and blessing that the women spoke to Naomi in verses 14 and 15 once more, you may have noticed it got a little interesting in terms of interpreting what they were saying. Verse 14 again, the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord. So they're talking about the Lord, the God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name. Now, wait a minute. Whose name are they talking about? The Lord or the Redeemer? They seem as if they're starting in this word of doxology, word of benediction, and yes, word of prophecy, and there's the key. It seems as if they're starting to conflate the Lord and this Redeemer born to Naomi through Ruth. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a Redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. You're thinking, okay, the Lord's name. Renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Wait a minute. Has given birth to the Lord? What is going on here? And then we read the next verse. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. Friends, this language of a child born, a son given, is surely meant to say Obed is a type of the one who was to come, Jesus Christ, who was born where? Where was Obed born? Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ, who came to save us. Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer of our souls. And of course, Jesus is the one to whom Boaz pointed. Jesus is the one, as you know, and as we rejoice in, who stepped in to provide for us, to love us, to spread his wings over us and redeem us. Only he did not redeem us with silver or gold. He did not merely purchase a field for us. He redeemed us with his own precious blood to make us his own, his bride, forever and ever. He restores our life. He nourishes our soul. He has given us more. God has given us more in his Son than we ever had in Adam. It's very much like the story of Naomi. All had been lost, but look at how things were restored. The same kind of thing happens in the book of Job. All was lost, but all was restored in a manifold way. That's a picture of the gospel. We've regained, we've won in Christ far more than we ever had in Adam. Naomi and Ruth had hoped that Boaz would be their redeemer. In love for them, he stepped in and their hopes were fulfilled. As we heard from our reading in Luke, the disciples on the road to Emmaus had hoped that Jesus would be their redeemer. They're like, surely this is the one. But he's died and we haven't seen him. Well, in love for them, even in their unbelief, Jesus spoke words of grace to them. He revealed himself to them through the scripture and through the breaking of bread on that first Easter morning. He revealed himself to be the living Christ, the Redeemer who conquered Satan, sin, and death in our place. And what does he continue to do for his people? The very same thing. He says through his word, through his sacraments, as we celebrated this morning, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. Any more than I'd forgotten Naomi or Ruth. I have not forgotten you. I love you. I have redeemed you. I have brought you home to the Father's love. Weren't you struck by that this morning? Jesus heals the boy, casts out this dirty spirit who was oppressing this image bearer of God. He restores this boy, and then he handed him back to his Father. That's a picture of grace. What does Jesus, our Redeemer, do? He takes us and he places us in our Father's arms. That's what Jesus does. He takes you right on in to the presence and embrace of his Father. And his Father, by grace, becomes your Father forever. So he says to us tonight, live in that assurance. Walk in that grace. And like Ruth, show that loving kindness to all whom God has made. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.